Hey, everybody, I have a really wonderful guest today, Dr. Christina Parks from Michigan. And Dr. Parks is a PhD in cellular microbiology. And she testified against vaccine mandates in front of the Michigan House of Representatives. I saw your testimony, which was so powerful. Can you tell us what your objection is to mandates?
Well, I just think they're blatantly illegal. I mean, I really think that regardless of the science of the vaccines, first of all, the idea that you can inject somebody, you can mandate to something to be injected into somebody's body is just ridiculous. And yet everyone's comfortable with you having to inject something into your body to maintain your employment. And like you take out the insert in the box and it's blank. So where is informed consent? The fact that the science doesn't support it, I think, is a secondary issue.
The arguments, Dr. Parks, for mandating this vaccine is that it will prevent transmission to your community. Do the vaccines prevent transmission?
No, they were never designed to prevent transmission. Their design, what they tested for, was making symptoms milder, but they certainly don't prevent transmission. And you won't see anybody in authority telling you they prevent transmission if you listen carefully.
So the clinical trials were not meant to do what everybody thought they were meant to do, which was to show that this vaccine can prevent transmission.
Right. No, they weren't. And, really, if you were going to show that, you would have done some animal studies first in monkeys or, whatever the model that they thought was nearest to humans. And you would have shown that. And then you would have done some actual biology, not just like looked at who got it and who didn't and who tested positive and who didn't. You would actually want to see neutralizing IgA antibodies. You would want to test all your participants for neutralizing IgA antibodies. You would want to, again, test all your participants for viral load all the way along.
How is it that a vaccine is marketed when it doesn't pretend to prevent transmission?
Well, that's a really good question. And I don't have a problem with having, say, the pertussis vaccine, which actually prevents symptoms, which can be very severe, being a vaccine if there's transparency. But there is no transparency. They pretend like it prevents transmission. You see the big bad wolf, grandma is going to go give pertussis to her granddaughter or grandson if she's not vaccinated. But in fact, that's all a lie because it doesn't prevent transmission. And so I think that they should really be held accountable in court for even implying or having any kind of marketing that suggests it prevents transmission when it doesn't. They need to be very clear that the pertussis, they know in the design of it, it only neutralizes the pertussis toxin. It doesn't prevent you from getting the bacteria. It doesn't prevent you from spreading the bacteria. And so this whole, they realize they could do it with pertussis. And so they keep going on and on. And they're like, well, we'll try. We know that everyone believes this. So we'll just use that to basically lie to the American people and imply that it prevents transmission with coronavirus when it doesn't. And again, when the vaccine, the design of the vaccine is failing because it doesn't prevent transmission and we see a resurgence in pertussis cases, then they blame the anti-vaxxers. And so this is a technique to divide Americans and to promote some sort of narrative at the expense of those who are concerned about vaccine safety. They've labeled people anti-vaxxers who say, hey, you didn't tell me that doesn't prevent transmission. And they should have lawsuits because how many infants got pertussis because mom and dad don't understand that their 2 and 3 year olds who are going to daycare are bringing back that pertussis bacteria. They're asymptomatic and they're giving it to their infant. And then who's blamed? Like grandma, because she's not vaccinated. So I'm so tired of the lies of this industry in pretending something prevents transmission and it doesn't. The same for the flu vaccine. When the flu mutates, if you had a vaccine against a previous variant and you see a new variant, your body doesn't recognize it. And so it has a chance to sort of replicate unchecked until it gets really, really bad and your immune system finally is prompted into doing something. So what we see is year after year when people are getting those flu shots, they're actually becoming the super spreaders that they're trying to prevent. And yet the implication by everything you see in the media is that the people that are unvaccinated are actually the super spreaders and are spreading the flu, when in fact, they show that your natural T cell immunity, the way your body works naturally, your natural cross-reactive immunity from every virus you've ever had, actually shuts down viral replication pretty effectively in most people.
So the vaccine can actually turn you into an asymptomatic carrier, like typhoid Mary, where you're spreading the disease. If you normally get sick on pertussis, you know it, you stay home.
Right.
The vaccine can hide those symptoms from you, and the same with COVID. And so potentially the people who are vaccinated may pose more of a danger in terms of spreading the disease than people who are unvaccinated and know when they're sick.
And I think we saw that in the spring in Michigan. We had two waves, one last March and then one starting in like November and December. By January, I thought we were done, but vaccination was ramping up. And then we had this whole new wave of cases. They've told us the medical literature is just rife with doctors saying, do not vaccinate during a pandemic, because you get this where the immune system tanks, they're more susceptible to illness, they catch the virus, and they become a super spreader before they're even 14 days out. So I believe there is some data that suggests this may be happening, and we need to look closely at that data. But unfortunately, when people were coming in for COVID testing, they said, well, if you've been vaccinated, we're just not going to test you. So that's one way for them to get out of actually really seeing how many of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated were coming down with illness. And so they've sort of covered up the real data at every turn and made it difficult to see what's really happening.
As you pointed out in your testimony, you belong to the two demographic groups that are most vaccine hesitant, PhDs and African Americans. Why do you think vaccine hesitancy is so rife among those two demographics?
Well, I think for two very different reasons. In African Americans, it's because they rightly do not trust their government, based on the fact that, you know, it looks like the government basically, and the CDC has experimented on marginalized groups, African Americans, the disabled. The Plotkin depositions show that, where Stanley Plotkin basically told everybody that, yeah, we experimented on these groups. And so, you know, if you read different historical references, basically, you come up with a lot of examples on how these marginalized groups, such as African Americans, were basically lied to and mistreated and experimented on. So that's why.
By the way, this is an ancient history. Tuskegee ended in 1973. My uncle played a key role in bringing it to an end. But as late as 2004 through 2014, the CDC was lying and is still lying over the impact of the MMR vaccine on African-American boys. They had the Stefano study showed that African-American boys who received that vaccine under 36 months of age were 350% more likely to get autism. And what happened to that data?
Well, it was shredded, and you can't even get that data out there. How many African-American boys have been destroyed? And to me, because this is my community, these are my relatives, I'm furious that we could have saved hundreds of thousands of African-American boys from getting brain damage, from dying, from being autistic, but they chose to hide that data and shred the data. So, I mean, you know, William Thompson came forward.
The people who are running CDC, Colleen Boyle, Frank DiStefano, those people actually participated in the destruction of that data, in that monumental fraud, and they're still down at CDC running the vaccine program.
It's criminal to me what they've done. And the fact that Congress won't investigate it is just as criminal. The fact that they've been able to get away with this for so long and no one's saying anything. And we really have to get this information out to the Black community, because one, they have very good reason to be vaccine hesitant. Even with the COVID vaccine, they're being told, well, you're in a more susceptible group for COVID, so you better get the vaccine, but they're also in a more susceptible group for vaccine injury. Nobody's talking about variations and mutations such as glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase, which makes them more susceptible to basically their blood cells blowing up and them having oxygen deprivation. That can happen with COVID, it can happen with vaccine.
And vitamin D deficiency, which is endemic in the Black community.
Yes, exactly. And they're not even having, we're spending all this COVID money, but they're not even doing different campaigns to have people check with their doctor for their vitamin D and take supplementation. So I feel that, you know, in this narrative, the African-American community is being used and abused again and lied to again. And I don't blame their vaccine hesitancy. As PhDs, we're in a different group. The reason we're vaccine hesitant It's because we know the body's really, really complex, and you cannot change things. You cannot, you know, have an insult, which a vaccine is, without an unintended consequence. That means that what you're protecting from, like the disease you're protecting from, has to be really, really deadly, and there's got to be no other way to treat it. We know that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and budesonide are very, very safe medications. And we have many doctors who are coming up with protocols on how to use that. And we know if you get treated early and you have good vitamin D levels, so there are many, you know, and you have zinc, that you're going to be at much less risk. So instead of mitigating risk, we're having someone take a very risky vaccine where 13,000 deaths have been reported to date. If we could reduce their risk, we could lower their blood sugar, we could reduce their hypertension, then that may help them to get through the disease when they get it. So everything they're doing every step of the way says they don't care.
Yeah, I was struck by the irony that DA's campaign trying to kill ivermectin by saying it's a horse pill. Don't let your friends talk to you as taking a horse pill. And Merck, which is the manufacturer of the ivermectin, came out and said, we've got real safety problems that we haven't investigated. But Merck has been giving that pill to 900 million doses to African children for decades. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is giving it to children and adults all over India for other issues. And now they're saying it's a horse medicine, but they've been giving it to all these kids on the African continent without any safety signals for decades. Now they've suddenly discovered that there's a safety signal when people are trying to take it for COVID. As an African-American, what do you advise other African-Americans about how they should handle this disease?
That's a hard one. You know, unfortunately, it's very hard to give people the breadth of perspective that I have. But I basically say, you know, why would you trust them? I mean, the question is, what's in this? What's happened in the past? Going forward, why would you trust your government? And many people are like, yeah, yeah, I hear that. I think many are taking it to keep their jobs. How many Black nurses are single mothers who have to get this to keep food on the table? And we're talking about, they always have this narrative about how we're really concerned about African-Americans and we want to provide support. And then they're like, you know, yeah, you had to work with COVID all last year and you're in a high risk group. And now you have to get the vaccine or be fired and not be able to support your family. I mean, it's just complete insanity. I think that, you know, the African-Americans, I know a young lady that wants to get it. Her parents are both against it because they're older and they don't trust this. They don't know enough about it to really trust. And I do any of us, right? The long-term safety studies, the carcinogenicity, the fertility studies have not been done. So they don't trust it, but she wants to take it to get back to regular life.
Kevin Jenkins, who's an African-American leader and who's the head of the Urban Health Coalition, last week said that this vaccine mandate, in particular what's happening in New York City, where they're not letting people into gyms, into bars, into restaurants, into stores and sporting events, unless they get this vaccine. He called it the new Jim Crow because of the disproportionate impact that it's going to have on the Black community.
Right. And that young lady just happens to be in New York. And she's like, well, I want to be able to go out. I want to be able to do things. And my African-American, he's a student at the college that my son also goes to. And he has the same thing. He's an African-American male and he can't go to a restaurant because he doesn't feel comfortable getting the vaccine. So yeah, this is basically medical apartheid and we need to call it out for what it is. You know, we live in an age where we should have customized medicine, where we could do a genetic profile and find out if you have variants that would make you more susceptible to vaccine injury and whatnot. But instead, we're saying everybody has to get this. You can't get a medical exemption. They don't even want to give you a religious exemption. And you can't even go out to eat. So that tells you there's another agenda at work, that there's something else going on here, which makes you want to get the vaccine even less. Like, why are they pushing this so hard? I know quite a few people that got the vaccine, not African-Americans, just neighbors, friends, and whatever. And now the way that they're pushing this now makes them more hesitant. They're like, I don't think I want my booster shot because something weird and funky is going on here. If something is a good product, you don't have to mandate it. People will go out and get it. And if people want to come up with vaccines, even though I may not like them, I may think they're risky personally, that's their choice. But it should be a choice. It should be informed consent. If you want to take some experimental drug, fine, but don't force people to do it.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Parks. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.